Amen. How great is our God? That's maybe our morning wake up of, oh God, you're great. You know? And hearts full of praise. And you know, I was this morning this came up in my heart was the youth group, the United Youth Group, that do a devotional, and so then there's just a "What's the Lord saying to you today?" on it, you know, and somebody had put up that only the Lord knows the future, and I put up, you know, when I was young, I never thought much about the future. Future didn't really concern me all that much. I think I've told you before, Vicky had ulcers from earthquake drills in her school. As a little kid, that troubled her so much. And every day my whole 13 years of school in Highmore, I walked past the fallout shelter signs like, okay, so? You know, what's that to me? We're gonna line up and sit against the walls in the hall, okay? That meant I wasn't in class, you know? Get under your desk, you know, the things they would scold you for doing until it was time for them to want it done, you know. If I got out of my desk and underneath my desk just messing around, guess what? You know, what's the matter with you, Roger? You know? Practicing. Well, I didn't think quick enough to try that one, you know. But, I mean, it's like we have all these things. And honestly, I don't necessarily think all that much about the future now, except for I do, as I said last week, you know, as you end the year, you're reading the Bible and it's screaming through Revelation and all the stuff that I don't understand, I don't think about much, and all of the stuff that I can look at and say, yeah, I get that. Blessing and honoring, glory and power belong to you, Lord. I can get that. And even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I can get that. But whenever I read that, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, I have sort of a little thing that comes up in my mind of, what if he'd have come quickly before 1983? The only thing that would have been good would have been if he'd have come before 1953. Then I wouldn't be, you know. But it would not have been good. There isn't a rush. He'll come. He'll come when he wants to. And fortunately, unfortunately, we come to the Lord when we want to. You know? The love's there. The rescue. We've been rescued. The rescue has been provided, but the gratitude is ours to express. You know, we control the flow on the gratitude, and we should be grateful. We should be grateful. What a blessing it is to start another year, knowing Jesus. And another year to reset our grateful level. You know? That doesn't necessarily mean that you weren't grateful last year. It just means that I want to improve on my gratitude level. I want to remain at a high level of gratitude to God. Not just at certain times, but at all times. You know, in Psalm 34 and 18, it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Okay? I don't want to just call on him when I'm crushed. I don't want to just call on him when I'm brokenhearted. I want to call on him all the time. And 19, verse 19, I believe, goes on to say that the many The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. We're always there. He's always there to rescue us. When I shoveled the walks today, I didn't shovel all the walks. I shoveled a path. I shoveled a path, and as I thought about it, you know, I thought, yeah, you know, the path, all we needed was a path. But then when it came to the church, a representative of the Lord, I wanted to make sure the path was wide open. Because that's the way it is with God. It's wide open. It's wide open, and it's wide open to everyone. You know, just to keep you up to date, I got a phone call from Rogers in Africa. And I hadn't heard from him for quite some time, so whenever I don't hear from him for quite some time, I pray that he's alive. And I know that he's must be somewhere. I pray that he's somewhere protected. I figure he's still there somewhere. And I got a call, and it was like a local call. Never a breakup. Never any, I'm sorry I can't hear you. Never having to hang up. Never anything. Hello, Daddy. And I said, where have you been? Because I message him every once in a while. I say, I hope you're still alive. You know. Well, he was in South Sudan. South Sudan is the place where snakes are preferably gods to the people. And he went back there. Transportation, public transportation, takes 15 days to get there and 15 days to get back. Waiting, you know, I don't know how many didn't get the whole thing. He said he will email, but he doesn't always get that done. But anyway, he's gone. He was gone for quite a while. I mean, he's gone for 30 days just to get there and get back, and then he was there for quite a while. And he said Hosanna Restoration is doing great in South Sudan. There's no electricity and there's no internet. And so I guess that's a reason why I didn't hear from him. But he's there, and he said the kings, because there's a king for every village, the kings give them the land and the building once the people get saved. And so it goes on, and he said, Daddy, I go there, and I don't speak to three or four people. Sometimes I might be in someone's home, but he said thousands come. Thousands come. Leave the snakes and thousands come. So, you know, all 10 or 11 of us are in on that, or 12 of us maybe. You know, we're part of that. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be part of that. He humbles me every time I talk. He says, it wouldn't have happened, Daddy, if you wouldn't have given me the truth. Because he was with the Latter-day Saints. He was with the Mormons. But he got the truth. And then he said, oh, and Daddy, while I was gone, you know, those people that beat me up, and that was them, the Latter-day Saints, they came and they threatened my wife that if I didn't convert to them right from Christianity, that they were going to hurt her. But he said, my wife never flinched. You know, he was in the hospital for a long, long time. She never flinched. So we pray a hedge about them so that all they can see is God around them. You know? That shouldn't be, but that's the truth of things. But great things the Lord has done. We don't just gather to gather. We gather in the name of the Lord so that we can rejoice and give God praise for what he does. You know? How does he do these things? I don't know, but he does. And so we need to be wrapped up in what he does, because it's the most important thing in our lives. And it's not just because I've gotten older, so I don't have as much to have be important in my life, but I might have gotten smarter. I might have become more aware. And the little things that God does, Vicki and I had our 48th wedding anniversary. Can you imagine anybody? Well, look at all of you. You've put up with me for that many years almost, you know. But I mean, we have been together, and so we went out to eat. But before that, we had gotten a letter from somebody that had been in jail, you know. And she just rattled on about what God has done in her life and about what she's done in her life and all kinds of things like that, you know. But she was touched by the presence of God that changed her life. Is she perfect yet? Maybe not, you know. But she said, I'm not making excuses, but this happened and that happened and that happened, you know. She was 2018. God got a hold of her. And she was doing well. And then the COVID hoax came. I call it a hoax. Anyway, that came. And so she lost her job. So then she went to work for the tribe on, you know, they guarded the reservations. And then she lost that job. And, well, anyway. But we got that, and so we had that. And so then Vicki and I were eating at this place. And a waitress who wasn't waiting on us came up, and she looked. She said, you're Pastor Roger, aren't you? I said, yeah, I'm he. I'll be him, yeah. And then she proceeded to tell me that in 1919, God changed her life. And how well she is doing. Wasn't it 19?
2019.
Yeah, 2019. Not 2019. Yeah, but it was in the 19. Anyway, but God had rescued her, and she talked about how she talks to her children all the time about God and how happy she was that Jesus had changed her life, and her life was just great. And I'm crying. Vicki's probably crying a little. She's crying a little, and you know, and it's just amazing because she said, "I just wanted to get a chance to talk to you because," she said, "you always said if even one person is helped, it's worth it." She said, "I wanted to make sure you knew that there was one person." Well, I know that there's been more, but that was. She said, "I wanted to come for coffee too, but I just don't get to Highmore." I said, well, "Yeah." I'm enjoying my time right now. You know, God does those things. God reaches people. He reached you. He reached you. And at some point in time, you were probably very grateful for that. You know? And even now, years later, you might not be as grateful all the time. You might not be. That's entirely up to you. That's entirely up to me, how grateful I'm going to be. I don't want to catch myself ungrateful. The only way to not catch myself ungrateful is to ratchet up my gratefulness. To be we sing songs, I'm forever grateful to you, you know. And when we're singing it, we might be thinking about something else. And then when we're thinking about something else, we might think, I shouldn't be thinking about something else. And we might just hone in, I'm forever grateful to you, oh Lord. I'm forever grateful to you, oh Lord, because He's so, so amazing. If we will remember how grateful we are to Him, we might just blow out any pity party we might get in. You know? We might just come crashing through. You know, we might be the first one on the team to break through the paper barrier, only it isn't a paper barrier that we break through. You know? We could plan for our breakthroughs, you know, we could have a breakthrough strategy. We could have a lot of things, but we need to remember We need to keep it at the front of our thoughts, just how grateful we are. Those who are loved much are grateful much. Everybody's loved the same amount. It doesn't have anything to do with how deep in sin we were. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with we're all given the same amount of love and care from God. And if we've never gone so deep and so far away from Him, there's enough there if we should happen to do that. There's enough there. There's enough for the one gal. She understood that God still loved her, even with a long line of unlovely. She knew that He would still love her. All she had to do was call. That's all we have to do is call. You know? We can be thankful for the sins that we haven't committed. You know, not like, oh, I'm glad I'm not like you. But just like, I'm so thankful, Lord. I'm so thankful that I was kept from that. I'm so grateful, Lord, for the hedge about me. You know, and I'm not, I don't go, oh, God, why did you let me go so long without you? He didn't let me go so long without Him. He was with me. I just was pulling on the rope, maybe. I don't know. I don't see, like I said, I didn't think that much, but I think about those things now, and no matter what sins I did commit, there were some I didn't. And thank God for that. You know? Thank God for that. That all the ones I committed are gone, and all the ones that I didn't commit, I ain't going to. You know? I'm not. I just don't have any desire in that direction. But I do have a desire to love God better. We should always desire to love God better. That's what Vicki said. It's gonna be better. I'm gonna love Him more. You know? And even though we love Him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, can't you imagine loving Him more? Can't you imagine Him loving Him so much that things that would topple you a year ago can't even touch you now? You know? That perfect love casts out all fear, so we're not afraid of anything. So if anything comes at us to scare us, I don't really want someone to come and threaten me to quit being a Christian. But I'm just pretty sure they aren't going to get very far. But you think of a woman who is far away from everything, and her husband is minimum of 15 days away from her, just to get back if there was something, and to have people come knocking on your door and basically tell you what we did to your husband is nothing compared to what we'll do to you. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know? She didn't waver. I would think she had to shiver, but Duddy, she did not waver. You know? But then how hard is that on someone who has been gone for months to come home and find that out? You know? Faith in God. Great is your faithfulness, God. Great is ours. Because we all have those things. There's weapons that form against us. But no weapon formed against us will prosper. But there's weapons that form against us. There's little areas where the enemy knows that something will trigger us, that he comes with a vengeance. You know? But we've got a guard set against that. We have a guard. The Lord is our guard. He goes out before us and he's our rear guard. And we can put our trust in him. And we don't all need to trust him for the same things. Do you understand? We all got our own things. But we've got something for each other. Prayer. We've got something to stand in the gap. I don't know what any one of you needs, but I can say to the Lord, I stand in the gap. I can say to the Lord, I know you've got this, Lord. We can declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and we should. You see, we should. We should declare it when everything's good. We should declare it all the time. God's good. I know that God is for me. We know that God is for us. This is 2025, as opposed to 1919 that I don't know anything about. This is 2025. And it's better. It's better. What's better? It's just better. Every day with the Lord is sweeter than the day before. So it's better. When it was bad, it was still better. When it looked worse, it was still better for those who put their trust in the Lord. Many are the trials that we might face, but the Lord rescues us out of them all. I know that God is for me. You know that God is for you, that his love never changes. And our awareness of his love is not only based on our faith, but it's based upon our gratitude for his love. So the more grateful we are, then the more sure we are. Right? I mean, we can be really sure. But man, after we've praised him and worshiped him and been in his presence, it just turns up our confidence. You know? And we can't earn it. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, he gives himself away, that overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. We don't earn it, but we can churn it, you know. We can make it thick like butter as we stir up. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy? Stir up that gift that's within you. That gift that's within you. Stir up that gift that's within you. Stir up that confidence that we have in God's saving power, in his ability to do abundantly above and beyond what we can hope or imagine. We stir that up, and as we stir it, we get thankful and grateful. You know, it's like looking through a junk drawer and finding that thing you've been looking for. You know, it's like a woohoo, hallelujah. Yeah, maybe you don't do that, but it's a stimulating thing, because that's what we do when we stir that up. We find the goodness of God that we had forgotten. We find little mementos of the things of, you know, God was telling me about, you know, he told me, I got this. I've got this. You know? And I don't even know what it was that he had. He just said, I've got this. See, we can be confident of God that he's got this. We can be confident in his goodness. Everything doesn't have to be perfect for him to be good. And what the enemy does is try to get our eyes on the imperfect and distracted from the perfect. And when that happens, You know, we're not expecting the perfect, we're expecting the imperfect. I went and brought the neighbor dog home in the bad weather. And in the middle of the night sometimes I'll think, oh man, he's in the garage howling. You know, I don't want to bother the neighbors. I'm glad he's in there, but he isn't howling. I'm just listening for it. And I've got him on a nice long rope, and I'm expecting the rope to hold him. If the rope doesn't hold him, I'm going to have to find him. I hope he'd be sitting on my back step waiting for Vicky to give him a treat. But yesterday I thought he would walk out to the garage with me, and he had another idea. So then I imagined him going over to chase the cows next door. And so I was busy trying to cut off where he was going to go get the cows, but I think the Lord already had him kept away from the cows. And then by the grace of God, he stopped to go to the bathroom, and I was able to get a hold of him. But you know, the anticipation, the desire for what I wanted him to be was being bombarded by where I thought he might end up. And so we go through that. That's a weird illustration, I realize. But we go through that because when something gets off the rope, something gets out of hand, you know, we imagine how far it can go out of hand. Believe me, I was praying the whole time to get a hold of him. And at the same time that I was praying to get a hold of him, I was thinking, how far can he go? Where would he go? And sometimes that's what we get more focused on, how far it could go wrong, rather than bringing it under wraps and knowing that the Lord rescues us out of them all. High. And when things start to get away from us, we've got to know where to go. You know? We gotta go to the rescuer, to the one that's higher than we are. We have plenty to be thankful for. Always. We always do. Talking about Brother Rogers reminded me of, I don't know if I told you this, that the last time that we had sent some money to him, and he's got a pocket. It's his cash pocket in his phone. He has that, you know? And I kept messaging him and saying, they say you've got the money. Do you have the money? And he wrote back and he said, Daddy, we were suffering while the money was in my wallet. And that was such a picture to me. Sometimes, you know, what we need is right there for us. But he hadn't checked his wallet. We check our hearts. We check our Lord. He hasn't changed. He's still able. Whew. I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that, that he hasn't changed, you know. I'm glad. I'm glad that I can trust him. I can trust him. I must trust him, but I can trust him. I know that I must trust him. But it's not like I have to do something brand new to do it. I can just trust him. We put our trust in you, Lord. We put our trust in you. In all things, I can trust the Lord. I can pray about anything. You can pray about anything. You know? We can put our trust in the Lord for absolutely everything. When I was young, I didn't have a need for that, rarely. You know? I just didn't see any need for that. But if something got out of reach, I might throw up a prayer and never bother to acknowledge whether it got better and he did it or what, you know? Didn't see any need for it. But I needed then and I need now. We got a beautiful, you want to shout that out? We had a beautiful prayer that my granddaughter prayed. And in that she was praying, her babysitter was there. And so the babysitter wrote down what she prayed. You know? Little child saying, "I love you so much, I'd like to kiss you right on the lips," and then a giggle. You know? It's like precious. Precious. And it's in my phone. But that was the one thing that really stood out to me, you know. That's good. That's good, you know. That's where I always thought it'd be. I never told him, but I thought it'd been a great thing if my daughters, that was all they ever wanted to kiss, you know. We're young, and I, you know, to kiss the Lord, to love the Lord, to know the Lord, that we might know him and that we might know him more. For now we know in part, but then so much more. But the comfort of the Lord and the protection of the Lord and the provision of the Lord, you know, the way he is. And he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and he is for everyone. He's the same for everyone. I know, and as I wrote and I said, you know, the path to the Lord is wide open, and I know the Bible says it's a narrow path, but his arms are wide open. And it doesn't take, I mean, the path that I shoveled is more plenty wide. Two people could actually walk in. You know? But we have a way. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the Lord is the one. And so enter this year, enter every day of your life, all day of your life, just knowing that you're rescued. And when he rescues, you know, if the Coast Guard rescues someone out at sea, you know, they don't pull them on the boat and say, "Okay, throw them over the other side." They take care of them, right? They take care of them. They rescue. And they provide. And so the Lord has rescued you in greater and greater and greater ways than you know. And the places are open to him. So that we the thief comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. But the Lord rescues us out of all of it. You know, there's no shadow he won't light up, no mountain he won't climb up, coming after us. There's no wall he won't kick down, no lie he won't tear down. You know, you're rescued. Whatever it is, you're rescued. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're close to the brokenhearted. Lord, if there's a broken heart here, heal it. You're close, Lord. You rescue those whose spirits are crushed, Lord. There are things that crush one that don't crush another, but crushed is crushed. And Lord, we thank you that you're so near to us and that you rescue us. We are looking forward to just every day with you is sweeter than the day before. And 2025 is a year to thrive, and we just exalt you, Lord, as we look forward to the plans that you have made. In Jesus' name, amen.